It's 8:11 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Summit County Council meeting tomorrow starting at 3:15 at the Sheldon Richens Building. In the studio with a preview, I have County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
First, before we get to the agenda, the Central Wasatch Commission hosting a public hearing Wednesday afternoon on the federal conservation area legislation for the Mountain Accord. Do we have a council member attending that?
I believe Chris Robinson will be attending, and also Jana Young from staff will be there as well.
Okay, so we don't have, or Summit County doesn't have a formal representative yet.
Right, that's still being worked out. A lot of different machinations going on around that about whether, you know, we have an application in to be a member, as well as other cities that do. There's some discussions around whether the county should have the Wasatch back seat and then Park City apply under that. But now that they have an executive director, I'm sure he's working on the governance part of this and figuring out how that's all going to work out.
Okay. And in particular, what does this bill mean for Summit County?
Well, if you'll recall, there was an effort for this designation of federal lands in the mountains a couple of years ago. As the Central Wasatch Commission has been progressing and trying to get their feet under them under the new structure, I think they're just bringing it back up again, and this is going to be one of their efforts. So that's what I would expect to see out of this group.
Okay. Also, the Summit County Council has less than 2 weeks to decide if it will implement this new transit sales tax with a share of the revenues going to local cities. You asked local mayors how they feel about it at yesterday's Council of Governments. I guess we had a mixed response. I'm saying they were a bit apprehensive about how citizens would react to a new tax on top of some of the levies that had already been passed. So, I mean, what's your recommendation then to County Council?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend that meeting, so I haven't been able to catch up with the council members the County Council members that were there. I was at the Basin Rec meeting, board meeting last night on some other business. But, you know, this is a tough one for the council. They asked us to go out and as staff to go out and try and get as much input as possible over the last 3 weeks before their meeting on the 27th. We continue to do that. I have a meeting right after this with the Downtown Business Association, and we'll have more during this week. We're just trying to get as much input back to the council as possible about what it means to different organizations, to the cities, to the school districts, all of those folks, as many taxing entities as we can, as well as groups that deal with sales taxes. In order to get that input, it's a very interesting problem. The legislature has put this in front of counties to deal with, county councils specifically. We have transportation needs; it's one of our strategic priorities. But it comes right after doing two sales taxes in 2016, as well as a lot of other taxing entities that are dealing with tax increases during this year. So a lot for the council to juggle on this one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, you're headed down to the Historic Park City Alliance meeting where certainly Main Street merchants have seen tax increases.
Absolutely.
They've seen paid parking. Are you trying to sell it to them, or you're just
trying to give them information? No, not a sales job at all. In fact, you know, as we've dealt with taxes before, we're not allowed to be in that role of selling a tax. But this one's a little different. But really what we're just trying to do is get the word out of what it is and what it would mean so that people can provide feedback back to the council. And they can do that on a email address, mobilitymatters@summitcounty.org. Provide that feedback directly back to the council and let us know what you think.
Yeah. Just the name of the email, though, sounds kind of in favor of
Mobility Matters. It's actually a play on words because, you know, it matters can mean two different things. So.
Sure. Talk a little bit about the video the county has put up on its website.
Sure. So that was a video simply to garner feedback as well. Kind of points people to either provide feedback directly to that email address or seek out further information from the county on its website. so that people can understand it. That was quickly put together last week in order to get out on social media, show to some of these groups so that we can get that information back to the council.
So what would this do, if approved, to the Park City sales tax rate? I mean, after the last tax increases, Park City has got the highest sales tax rate in the state, I believe.
Yeah, I think we'd have to wait and see because, of course, all of the counties in the state are dealing with this. There are, I believe, 17 counties that have already adopted this. So their sales tax rate already reflects that, and the cities within their county already reflect that. We're still waiting to see. Of course, Salt Lake County has last week supported it. We're waiting to see what that means for overall Salt Lake County, and we're also waiting to see what happens with Utah County.
Would it put Park City's sales tax rate above 10% if it was approved?
I don't remember the detail on that, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
All right. Looking at the agenda, again, I mentioned meeting 3:15 at the Sheldon Richens Building. Being briefed on Project ABC, this is the Arts, Beauty, Culture. The staff report notes that we've got $450,000 for fairgrounds, $910,000 for ramp grants, and $110,000 for capital projects. Can you, beyond those specific things, what do you need this ABC plan for?
Well, the ABC plan was an effort, a grassroots effort by the Park City Summit County Arts Council to kind of coalesce some discussion that was happening around the community about what should happen with the future in arts. As you know, both all of our cities and the county do different things with arts, but it's not just them. There's a huge amount of nonprofit private work within the arts, beauty, and culture. And so those groups wanted to get together and see what they wanted the future for that to be. So this is coming. Of course, the county participated in that effort both in time and with funding. So it's coming back to the council to give its final look. We just wanted to make sure that we put it in some context of what is already being done around arts, beauty, and culture, not only by the county, but I think the other communities are doing that as well. And in reading through the plan again this morning, the group acknowledges what is already being done. It doesn't specifically call out all the funding that's in there, but it does mention it all, and it really acknowledges that in a good way. I think that the plan, there will be a lot of discussion around what the plan means in the future.
All right. The $110,000 that I mentioned for capital projects, do you know what those are specifically?
So my guess is that I don't know the specifics on that, but one of them would probably be the recent RFP that was put out for an art project related to the new South Summit Services Building. There'll be an art display in there that we're procuring or our art board is procuring right now. It could also include that amount that there will be art associated with the new fairgrounds improvements as well. So I believe those are the two projects within that money.
Okay. A briefing on emergency procedures. Any differences between these procedures and what we've seen in the past?
No, it's no different. It's really just, the council went to an incident command system training down in Wasatch County last week, so they started to hear about this. We wanted to follow it with a kind of a review of the county ordinance and state law around that and who has roles and responsibilities. I have roles and responsibilities. The sheriff does. The council does. Of course, everybody in the county would have a role or responsibility in a big incident. So we're kind of reviewing that as well as what does it mean to declare an emergency in the county.
When do we hear from the state fire marshal about any restrictions on campfires, fireworks?
I haven't heard anything new yet. I'm sure that question is going to come up tomorrow as well, and Chris Crowley will be prepared for that.
All right. The Colby School application comes back before County Council. They're appealing a determination from Community Development Director Pat Putt. This comes after the council turned down the Colby project on appeal. County code says that after such a rejection, the applicant cannot return with the project within a year unless the application is materially different. The applicants have resubmitted saying it is materially different. We changed the project to reflect the direction we got from the county. Pat Putt says the project is basically the same. So now what?
Well, you've described the dilemma quite well. So Pat Putt, as our community development director, did make that determination that it was materially the same. So that is what the applicant is appealing to the council.
And that's the decision that the council has to make, whether it is or not
that
materially the same?
That is correct.
Is it...
Well, they're judging whether the community development director made the right decision or not.
All right. Is there input from county attorney or?
So it's very similar to other. We'll have an attorney that will represent the planning director, and then there will be an attorney that represents the council. And, of course, the applicant has their own attorneys. And they'll provide testimony. I'm sure the council will hear it. And then they'll rely on the county attorney to help them feed through that appeal.
Yeah, so this is a council decision and not a decision by you.
That is correct.
Fortunately, huh?
I've got plenty of decisions in the next couple of weeks on land use, so this one's just fine.
The auditor submitting the certified tax rate, do those reflect any tax increases?
The ones that the county council is dealing with, I don't believe there's any tax increases in those, except for it does reflect the truth in taxation that we went through last year. So for general fund and municipal fund, those are in there because they of course support the current year budget. It's dealt with in arrears, but I am hearing that there are tax rates being dealt with by both the Park City School District and the South Summit School District. I can't speak to specifics about that. I'm going to leave that to the auditor, but I believe that's what we're hearing, and I'm not sure on the other entities.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing the auditor has given the Park City Board of Education those numbers because they're scheduled to approve theirs.
Absolutely.
Today.
In fact, I saw the auditor at the Basin Rec board meeting last night as they were certifying their rate. So I believe he's attending those meetings and has already been talking with their financial directors to make sure that they're set to certify those rates correctly.
Yeah, you're attending the Basin Rec board meeting. Do you always attend those, or was there a specific reason?
I don't. There was a closed session item on property acquisition that we were discussing that they wanted me to be present for. We were dealing with some personnel issues that. I was also there for, and then I stuck around to listen to their deliberations about underpasses on Kilby Road.
Mm. Any announcements with regard to open space acquisitions?
No announcements at this point.
All right. Back to the agenda. The council will vote on approving the recommended RAP cultural grant, the restaurant tax grants, which include Park City's request for the 4th of July funding, not on the agenda. So are they going to agree to go with zero financing for that?
I'm not sure yet. We normally would have these on the agenda at the same time, but for final approval. But we pulled that one. There's going to be some further discussion between the council and the committee on that to see what a final if to see whether the council comes up with a different allocation of those funds. Of course, that will be brought out for public scrutiny in the agenda when that is ready to go. I'm not sure when that will happen, however.
Someone pointed out to me that the Alfangen Museum receiving full funding, one of the very few, I think, that actually got that with the director actually sitting on the committee. So do we have a conflict of interest there?
Well, I mean, that does happen. Our committees, the other part of these taxes is that we have very specific rules about who can sit on these committees, and they have to be involved with, and specifically with restaurant tax, they have to be involved with the activities of where the tax is produced. So that pool is not as big, and sometimes there are those issues. I don't know whether how the deliberations of the committee went in regards to that specific grant.
So any idea when the council does make a decision then about Park City Municipal's 4th of July?
I believe, considering that it is a 4th of July event, we'd like to get that decision done before then.
Okay. Anything else, Tom, you wanted to mention?
Nope. That's all I've got this week.
All right. Thanks. That's Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. For the June 26th primary, Utah Republicans will decide who they want to be on November's ballot for the United States Senate to replace Orrin Hatch, one of the two candidates on the primary election ballot, the former governor of Massachusetts, the head of the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics, and a former Park City property owner, Mitt Romney, joins me now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So you've been quiet about what's happening along our southern border. As a member of the Mormon Church who believes in the sanctity of the family unit, how do you feel about what's going on down there and the current administration's policy?
Well, actually, you'll be happy to know I have not been silent on this. Actually, spoke out about it yesterday and put out a statement as well. I believe that what we're seeing is a humanitarian crisis that has to be changed. I would recommend that the president reinstate the policy that was in place in 2017 during his first year, and that Congress then take action to put in place a permanent fix. I've seen legislation from Ted Cruz, which I haven't read yet, but which at the outset looks like it's a good fix. We'll see, take a closer look. But continuing to separate families at the border is something that just can't go on. It's not putting us in the light that we'd like around the world, but more importantly, it's a humanitarian problem, and this is the time for us to be looking for some solutions to secure our border, but at the same time to do so in a compassionate way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your immigration policy. Apparently, a couple bills coming up for a vote this week in Congress that would stop family migration, give a reprieve for our DACA students, but not necessarily citizenship, and it would proceed with that multi-billion-dollar wall along the border. Where do you stand on those issues?
One by one, I would let the DACA individuals have legal status in the U.S. as the president proposed earlier this year, but I would not have them take a special pathway to citizenship. They would be able to apply for citizenship just like anybody else, but they would go along the process others do. Secondly, with regards to a wall, I would put in place a barrier against our southern border to restrict the flow of people into our country illegally. Number three, I would quite seriously penalize employers in the U.S. that hire people who are here illegally. Employers need to check on the E-Verify system to see if they're here legally or not, and if they're not, they shouldn't be able to hire them. And that will really slow down dramatically the flow of people into our country. And finally, I just note that our legal immigration system needs to be improved. It's a morass. It's almost impossible for people to sort their way through it. We need to put in place a far simpler, transparent system for applying for citizenship, but also applying to become a green card holder.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you say that you would penalize employers who hire undocumented workers. What happens to the workers themselves?
Well, what the workers are going to do in a circumstance of that nature is they're going to ultimately find places where they can find work, and that will presumably be back in their homes or in other places. But frankly, people come here by and large to get work. And if you can only get work here, if you're legal or you have a green card or citizen, or a temporary visa, why, if you can't get that work, why, you're obviously going to go back home or you're not going to come here in the first place.
Sure, but wouldn't it also devastate the Utah tourism economy, the California agriculture economy?
I don't quite understand what you mean.
Without the workers to do the work, yeah. I mean,
well, of course we have, but we have people who come in legally. Our agriculture economy, for instance, is propelled by people who receive agriculture work visas. They come into our country by the many, many thousands, and that's a program I would keep in place. As a matter of fact, one thing that I would do is instead of just having the federal government decide how many agriculture workers can come in annually, I would instead let each state say, this is how many agriculture workers we need, and have the federal government then provide those visas to the agriculture workers. Likewise, visas for tourists, that's also done. We would continue our visa programs under what I'm describing, But those who come into our country illegally, seeking to permanently live here and work here permanently, would not be able to do so under the E-Verify system. By the way, that's the way the law currently stands. We just don't do a good job enforcing it.
Your television ads say you're the deficit hawk. What can you do to reduce our, what is it, $21 trillion deficit now?
You're absolutely right. It's $21 trillion and growing by $1 trillion a year. And I hope people realize we're paying the interest on that every year. And this is a huge number. It's $300 billion going up to probably $700 billion. What we can do, number one, we have to reform our entitlement programs, not for current retirees or people nearing retirement, but young people coming along need to understand that the retirement age will be a year or two longer. And likewise, the benefits for higher-income people are not going to grow as fast as they are for lower-income people. Those things will balance two-thirds of our spending. At the same time, we've got Medicaid, which is the health care program for the poor. I would return that to the states, where in the case of Utah, we could manage this program, in my opinion, far more efficiently, and we could live within the 2% or so growth that we'd expect to see with inflation. And then there are other federal programs. I just simply eliminate and return the dollars to the states to run in the way states believe they can run them more effectively.
Are you talking the Education Department? What programs?
Well, the department, some of the departments could actually be combined so that we could eliminate some duplication and some bureaucracy. But, for instance, job training programs. When I was running for president in 2012, we counted 47 different job training programs at the federal government level. My inclination would be to eliminate those and return the dollars to the states that were being spent and say to Utah, you use the money as you feel best to get your own people the job training they need. We would presumably have people go to community colleges and state colleges to get the skills that they need. So the federal government has just encroached far too much on Utah, telling us how we can use our land, which roads we can build, which kind of health care we have to have. We need to let the state set those policies, and by doing so, we can both save money and do a much better job caring for our people.
How do you feel about the tax reform that went into effect January 1st? It basically saved a lot of money for corporations.
Well, we had a tax rate at the corporate level of 35%. And around the world, the tax rate is anywhere from sort of 18 to 25% for other companies. And so we had company after company leaving the U.S. and establishing residents in other countries. And that meant a loss of jobs and also a loss of revenue. So bringing the corporate tax rate down to be competitive with other nations was the right thing to do. And interestingly, when I ran for president, I suggested that in one of our debates, and President Obama agreed. So he didn't get that done, but he certainly agreed the corporate tax rate needed to be lowered. So that was the right direction to take. I think it was the right thing to do. I would have liked to seen the rate at 25%, which is what I proposed when I ran for president, but they got it to 21. A little lower than I would have settled for, but reform was necessary.
And certainly your critics say, with your own personal fortune, why would we think that you're looking out for the little person, the person who pays, you know, has to pay a month's salary in federal taxes every year?
Well, I think people of means oftentimes have interests greater than just their own money. Frankly, as they get older, look at the Kennedy family, for instance. I've known Ted Kennedy, or I knew Ted Kennedy for many, many years. He and his family were born with extraordinary wealth, and they committed themselves from their brother John F. Kennedy to Bobby to Ted. They committed themselves to try and make a difference in the lives of others, and so I wouldn't apologize or disparage people who've been able to be successful in America and who care about others. And I think I've demonstrated as a governor in Massachusetts, for instance, getting everybody in our state insured that I have the capacity to make a difference in the lives of others. And that's what I hope that I'll be able to do for our state in Utah. Of course, you mentioned I had property in Park City. I still do have property in Park City, still have a home there, which I share with another family. We love skiing there. And by the way, this afternoon at 6:30 in Camas, at Camas City Park, I'm going to be saying hi to whoever would like to come by and have a chat.
Yeah, well, you may not know it, but your former home, it's often referred to as the Romney Trail. So It's your old house, though. Tell us again, your critics, you know, I mean, you've been at loggerheads with President Trump. Now your critics saying you want to be part of his cult personality party. I mean, how do you really feel about our current administration?
Well, I will call him like I see him, which means if there's a policy that comes from the current administration that I think is right for Utah and the country, then I'll support it. If I disagree with it, then I'll not support it. And I've said, for instance, with regards to tariffs, I believe in trade. Utah is a net export state. I support that. I do not want to see us get into a trade war. Broad-based tariffs like those on steel and aluminum that have been proposed by the administration, I think, are mistaken, and I think that's the wrong direction to go. On the other hand, if there's a narrow tariff that's applied to a nation or a company that's cheating, like China, then that's something I can support. And then when the president says things or tweets things that I disagree with or I think that are divisive or racist or anti-immigrant or anti-woman, I will point that out just like I have in the past. And so, you know, I'm a straight shooter, as the president said the other day, and I appreciate that that moniker.
And do you also support the administration's efforts to reduce the national monuments, Escalante and Bears Ears?
Oh, yes. Yes. In the case of Grand Staircase and Bears Ears, I think the president made the right decision there, which is to preserve those portions of the monument that really are antiquities and need to be preserved. And the millions upon millions of acres of just flat sagebrush land that's been used for grazing and multiple use should indeed have been returned to regular federal land status that can be available for multiple use, depending upon the decisions of the Bureau of Land Management.
So many issues, but let's quickly talk about gun control. Where do you stand there, and do you accept money from the NRA?
I don't accept money from any PACs, including the NRA. And I do believe that at the federal level, we need to improve our background check technology, and that's something the president's also called for. I also believe that bump stocks, such as that used in the terrible massacre in Las Vegas, should not be available for sale to the public. Safety generally and gun safety and laws protecting our schools, I believe, are best crafted at the state level, and would look to see Utah put in place provisions to protect our schools. And that may be to limit the number of access points into a school, and I believe to have some personnel at the school that is armed, hopefully law enforcement personnel that would be able to repel or deter an attack. But I do not support new federal gun legislation. I support letting states make decisions on this matter on a state-by-state basis.
Finally, just wanted to ask you, what do you think the biggest difference between you and your opponent, Mike Kennedy, is?
You know, I don't know that there are differences on policy, and he could probably take a look at my record when I ran for president in 2012. That lays out the things that I believed then and believe now. But I think probably the biggest difference is that I'd have the capacity to help Utah continue to punch above its weight in Washington. We've been fortunate to have a senior senator, Orrin Hatch, who's gotten a lot done for Utah, for the country as well. And that's in part because of his seniority. I believe that having worked with some 40 different Republican senators in office, I've helped them in their campaigns and raised money for them. And I've known the president a long, long time, that I'll be able to work in Washington to actually get things done. A lot of politicians talk about how they're going to make everything happen, but when they become a junior senator and one out of 100, they can't do much. I think having run for president and having relationships with these people allows me to do more for Utah and help us get stuff done.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning. Again, you're going to be at the Camas City Park. What time?
Going to be at 6:30, Camas City Park today.
All right. Again, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Leslie. Good to be with you.
Joining me now in the studio with an update on some of the projects and events going on, Recycle Utah, I have Director Carolyn Warr. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie.
Let's talk about Styrofoam real quickly. You've got that up and running again?
Right. I'm pretty happy to announce that our Styrofoam machine is running again. Sorry about that 2 to 3 month hiatus. We had some issues with the machine, and it's pretty unique, and so we finally got it fixed. And wanted to thank the community for all your support and patience. This one are more expensive items to process at the recycling center. So drop a buck or two when you come visit. And then remember that we only take the packing kind of styrofoam, you know, the kind that comes around electronics, not the food kind. So no meat trays, to-go boxes, or coffee cups. But bring us your styrofoam. We're ready for it.
So why is that? I mean, why can't you take the food stuff?
Yeah, it's a different kind of material. It's meant to handle heat or cold, you know, like the hot coffee cup, like a styrofoam coffee cup. It can handle hot coffee in it. If you were to put the machine that we use kind of compacts it in different ways. It's different kind of styrofoam. So that one's not processable with us. So
okay.
Try to avoid that. Try to bring your own coffee cup or even a to-go box and you go out to eat.
Does that cause a problem then? I mean, if people are contaminating it?
The way we recycle the styrofoam is we actually hand process it. We put it in the machine to recycle. So the person doing that would catch any of the wrong kind and it'd have to be thrown away. So.
Okay. Let's see. You've got an upcoming event. Is that happening tomorrow, the free lunch and learn composting workshop?
Right. We do these every summer. It's from noon to 1 at Recycle Utah. It's a lunch and learn, so we'll have some snacks. But if you need more than that, bring your own lunch. We'll be teaching you the basics of composting at home, how to get the right mix of green and brown in your compost. And if you need to buy a composter, you'll get a 10% discount on composters. And then also, Leadership Park City is showing the movie Wasted about food waste tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So composting day in Park City tomorrow.
Okay. I know that Nell and Chris are going to talk a little bit more about that documentary, Wasted. So let's see. Coming up next weekend, the end of the month, it's Dumpster Days. This is something that you do, what, every month at the end of the month?
We just do 2 weekends in the spring and 2 weekends in the fall. So we did it at the end of May, and we're doing it again the end of June. So next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is kind of a collection of large trash items. I think of these as things that are too big for your curbside bin. Maybe a particle board shelf, some wood left over from a remodel project, or green waste. Maybe you did some work on the noxious weeds in your yard and you need to bring them in, anything like that. It's available to Summit County residents only. We do collect zip codes. It's open 9 to 4 on Thursday and Saturday, and only 9 to 3 on Friday because we need to close early for Uncorked, which is next Friday, in the Recycle Utah parking lot from 5 to 9 p.m. It's our 8th annual event. It's kind of a funky party in the recycling center. We got live music by Motherlode Canyon Band and Alicia Stockman, dancing, drinks and food. And we have Praise Cheeses, Comrades Food Truck, and Wild Pie for food. And Ace Disposal sponsoring the event, the music on the stage. And we're doing a new thing. We're not doing any plastic cups for any of the alcohol. So if you want to have a cocktail, bring your own or purchase a reusable stainless steel cup for $1.
Okay. Back to Dumpster Days real quick, though. I mean, do you take things like mattresses?
Nope, we don't take anything hazardous. Mattress would be in the hazardous category because it has the flame retardants in there. So those need to go to landfill. The landfill will take any paint, solvents, mattresses, electronics. They'll take those Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. So you have to bring them to there. So basically, a lot of things we collect are just large household items. A lot of wood. Wood's not recyclable. If it's pure enough, it could be composted. But we'll help you figure that out once you come to see us.
Okay. And then a couple of save the dates. You've got the green drink for July 10th.
Yep. And we're partnering with Summit Community Gardens there. We're talking about food. We're serving lemonade and appetizers. And if you want more than that, you're welcome to bring your own snacks and pack a picnic. And we also have the 100 Mile Meal coming up August 11th. Sponsored by Gallery Mar and Epic Promise. That's an event with food all sourced within 100 miles of Recycle Utah. Lawn games, cocktails, and delicious food provided by the Park City Mountain Chefs. So come on by.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Great.
Carolyn,
thanks.
See you next month. Thank you. Carolyn Moore, Executive Director of Recycle Utah, KPCW News Time now, 8:50. It's 8:51. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, this weekend, the Egyptian Theater presenting The Yardbirds, the classic English rock band launching the careers of the likes of Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page. On the phone with me to talk about this weekend's show, I have the band's sustaining member and original drummer, Jim McCarty. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much. So more than 50 years later, and you're still playing as a Yardbird. Maybe let's just first talk a little bit about your endurance with the band. I mean, it's too much fun.
Well, we did have a long holiday. You know, we originally broke up in '68, and then we got back together in about '96, and we've been going since that time in different incarnations. But I don't know. The repertoire seems so strong. It still sounds great, and it sounds very good with the modern PA system, and the old songs still seem to carry a lot of weight. And I'm still happy playing. It's not like I'm playing every night of the week now. Just a few tours each year.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. How many shows do you think you do a year?
Well, probably not that many. Maybe 50 tops. So it's quite nice. Quite nice for me at my age now.
Yeah. I mean, so where's home for you now?
I'm living in France, down in the south, and at the moment I'm spending quite a bit of time in Toronto. I find that's easy for traveling over for the tours. I stay in Toronto last for a few months, and then come over into the US for the touring.
So forgive me if this is colloquialism here, but you were around for the naming of the band. I mean, why did you name yourself after chickens? I mean, that's what we call chickens or yard birds.
I know. I did. Well, we didn't know that at the time. The yard birds were just like hobos that traveled on the old steam trains and lived in the rail yard. That's where we got the name, I think, from the old Jack Kerouac book, probably on the road or something like that. That seemed like a very good name, but it certainly stood the test of time.
I'm glad we cleared that up. So who have you got coming with you this weekend?
Well, it's I'm the only Brit now. They're all American. They're all great players. We've got Johnny A on the lead guitar from Boston, Massachusetts. Kenny Aronson on bass, who's played with a lot of other bands. And there's Mike Gavone on harmonica, who's from New Jersey. And John Iden, who was on the Birdland album that we brought out in 2003. So he's been with the new band for a while. He's from, originally from Detroit, but he lives in Europe as well now.
So your shows, I mean, is it really just kind of playing all of the hits, or have you guys actually put together some new tunes as well?
Well, it's basically the old classics, the hits that people know us for, plus some of the blues covers, you know, like Death Lightning and Thinking Muddy Water, things we do our own version of. It's a very good band. The guys are very faithful to the Yardbird sound, and I think we get that great sound. We had a great show last night in Nashville, and everyone was really, really happy about it, and it was good fun.
Okay. Yardbird's credited with creating psychedelic music, and of course that was just a sign of the times, but I mean, not to incriminate yourself, but was it just the influence of the culture, or was it the guitar playing, you know, and kind of like the start of the guitar jam, or...
Well, we started playing old blues covers that we heard coming out of the U.S. Like, you know, the Howling Wolf, the Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, all those people. And that sort of music had been buried away for a long time. And suddenly we started to play us and the Stones and the Animals and the Kinks and some of our contemporaries. And then we just wanted to make it a bit different and have a bit of fun with it, sort of change things around a little bit. And when Jeff Beck came into the band, he had all those sounds at his fingertips. I think that's where it came from, the psychedelic tag.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of hits here lined up, For Your Love or Shapes of Things. Do you have a favorite?
They're both great. For Your Love was a song that put us on the map, really. But Shapes of Things I'm quite proud of, because that was probably, you know, my favourite Yardbird song. We got that together ourselves. Play whatever. Either of those are fine.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let that take it out. Jim McCarty, appreciate your time. Again, you're going to be in town with the band Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening. Showtime is 8 o'clock. Tickets start at $35. You can get more information at parkcityshows.com. It's been a delight talking to you. Thank you for your time.